Bibles, please turn to the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 2, Revelation chapter 2. We're going to read several verses, skipping around through chapter 2 and chapter 3. I'm going to start in verse 4, and then I'll tell you which verse we'll read together after that. Revelation chapter 2, verse number 4. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Now skip down to chapter 2, verse number 9. We'll read this verse together in unison. Ready? I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich, and I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogues of Satan. Now I'll read verse 14. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. Now let's read verse 20 together, Revelation 2, verse 20. Ready? Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. I'll read chapter 3, verse 1. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath seven spirits, hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. We'll read verse 15 together, and this will be the last verse. Chapter 3, verse 15. Ready? I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for our church. Lord, thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit here and the wonderful Spirit amongst our people. Thank you for a faithful people. Lord, the people that are here tonight, Lord, two ball games today, people screaming and hollering and having a good time, but nothing that will last for eternity like what happens here. Thank you for the Spirit here. Now, Father, please fill our preacher with your power. Fill us with your power as we listen. Change our hearts, our lives. Lord, use us to influence this area, our country, and our world, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Look again, if you will, in your Bibles at Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, verse 8. I'm going to read that one verse again. We'll refer and read the others again as the sermon progresses. The sermon tonight is called, Our Church Must Be Kept. K-E-P-T, kept. The Bible says in Revelation 3, 8, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Look back at me, if you will, please. I love all the ministries of our church. I love the nursery, and I love the availability of our nurseries and what they mean to our church and to our moms and dads. I love our bus ministry. I think the bus ministry is a very, very important ministry to God's blessing on this church. I love our youth program with all of its activities, the meeting called Young Fundamentalists. I love our children's programs, including King's Kids and all that we do. I love Martinsburg Christian Academy. I enjoy the fact that we have available to us our own cemetery and our own mausoleum. I thank God for the Baptist baseball leagues and a place where our boys do not have to get involved in the world. You don't have to go to the world to hear your mama throw a fit in the stand. You can come right here to the church and see it happen in God's will. I love our missions program. I love the fact that we've now given over $2 million to missions. I love that. I love our Hearts for Missions connections. And I love our senior citizen ministry. I love our music programs with all the variety of special music and the orchestra and our choirs. Now, our new ministry, the Old Paths Baptist College. But folks, for all of these ministries to stay strong, our church must stay strong. If our church goes liberal or goes down, then all these ministries will follow the very same path. In Revelation chapter 2, Revelation chapter 3, there are seven churches that are mentioned. All of these churches had pretty good starts, but all of them but one had a bad finish. They started well, but didn't finish well. One held true. All of them changed, though, but this one, they all changed for the worse. Now, the church of Philadelphia stayed relatively strong and true. All the other churches, they made bad changes. The church at Ephesus lost its first love of soul winning. The church of Smyrna let the lost people become active church members. The church of Pergamos fornicated with the world. The church at Thyatira didn't practice ecclesiastical separation. The church of Sardis, they were very busy, but the Bible says they were busy but dead. The church of Laodicea, they didn't keep their Christianity and their church services hot. Now, we've started the Old Paths Baptist College, been running for a couple semesters. You're all aware of it. But let me tell you, we started college, and for it to be what it needs to be, our church must be what our church needs to be. See, you can't have a red-hot college with a lukewarm church. You can't have a soul-winning college with a lifestyle evangelism church. You can't have a separated Bible college with a worldly church. You can't have a fundamental college with a liberal church. You can't have an old-fashioned college with a new-style contemporary church. You know what we need to do? We had better learn from the Church of Philadelphia. They stayed true. Therefore, the ministries of their church stayed true. Understand, our ministries will only stay what they ought to be if Mama, the local New Testament church, stays what it ought to be. Now, you say, how in the world? How did the Church of Philadelphia stay strong and stay true? I think it's all found in one word. One word, the word kept. Kept. Revelation 3:8, it says, I know thy works, behold, I've set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. It says then again in another verse, Revelation 3:10, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee. Here it is said that twice this church kept. They kept. Then God turns around and says, because you have kept, I will keep you. Huh. If we can figure out what this kept is, then God will help keep us just like He kept that church at Philadelphia. We don't have to go the way that those other six churches went. We could go the way that that one church went that stayed right with God. Kept, that word, is used twice. I found this out. I looked. It's not used in describing any of the other six churches that changed for the worse. You don't find the word kept. They were not found keeping whatever it was. The other six churches, they did not. God did not say they kept. Something was missing. The word kept is also used in Acts chapter 12, verse 4 and 5. When a guard was guarding Peter when he was in prison. Very same word. Kept. They kept. See, Peter was being kept. What was happening? He was being guarded. The very same word kept, K-E-P-T, is used in Acts chapter 28, verse number 16, when Paul and Silas were kept or guarded in the prison at Philippi. See what happened here, what God's telling us. This church of Philadelphia, they were keeping something. They were watching out for something. They were protecting something. They were making sure that something did not escape their grasp. They kept it. The other six churches, they didn't kept. I know that sounds bad English, but kept was missing in the other six churches. What does it mean? They guarded something. The church at Philadelphia kept or guarded some things on purpose. That's how they remained strong. That's how they remained true. What is it that they kept? What is it that they guarded? Where is it? What is it that twice God said, you kept, I will therefore keep you. In other words, we guarded some things. God turned around and said, I'll guard you. I won't let you go astray. I won't let you sour. I won't let you get off track. Well, if we can figure this out, I guess if we just follow what God tells us, then we would be keeping our church what God wants it to be. Probably. probably the areas in which God corrects the other six churches, those are probably the areas where somebody didn't keep something right. We'll go to those other churches, the other six. Let's find out what God corrects them about. If we can figure that out, they must not have kept something. Now, I call the sermon, "Our Church Must Be Kept." Let me say number one, soul winning was not kept at the Church of Ephesus. Soul winning was not kept at the Church of Ephesus. Revelation chapter 2 verse 4, we read it earlier, said, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." That is in reference to the Church at Ephesus. She forgot her first love. Now in Revelation chapter 2 verse 4 and 5, this church is told that they need to repent and get back to their first love. Now, what is the first work of a Christian? What should be the first love of a Christian? Well, that's telling someone else about Jesus Christ. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." You remember the story of the woman at Sychar's well. She got saved and she immediately ran to town and told others about the Savior. The church of Ephesus here had lost her first love. Now, I believe Ephesus still believed the Bible, but she had stopped her soul winning. She was a church, but she wasn't doing that for which the church was created. Now, folks, our church is a soul winning church. Our church has been built on the basis of this thing of keeping people out of hell. Hey, listen, I'll tell you something, church. When college students start coming in from the outside, don't you for a moment think that the college students can do the soul winning for you and for the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. We will destroy our church if we depend on visitors from the outside coming in. We let up on our soul winning and let them do that for us. That will destroy the church. See, the church has to stay strong for the ministries to stay strong. Our college teachers will be soul winners, not dead theologians. You're sitting out there saying, "Well, I wonder if you'd let me teach in that college. When's the last time you brought somebody down this aisle and put them in that baptistry tank?" You say, "Well, I know something about the Bible." Well, then if you do, live it. And living it is getting people saved and keeping them out of hell and getting them in the water. See, I'm not looking for dead, dry theologians that think they're brilliant because they memorized the book of the Bible. We'll not have people teaching the gospel and not spreading it. We got to guard our soul winning, folks. Hey, deacons, you're to be soul winners. Hey, teachers at Martinsburg Christian Academy. Hey, Sunday school teachers. Hey, staff. Hey, nursery workers. Everybody here, you know who you are. You agree that you'd be a soul winner. You say, "What's the big deal?" Because this church right here, the church of Ephesus, they got themselves in trouble. They changed and they messed up. Why? They lost their soul winning emphasis in the church. So, Brother Owens, I was willing to be a soul winner back when our church was struggling a little bit more. It has nothing to do with whether or not the church is struggling in regard to this issue of soul winning. People are struggling and going to hell, and that's never going to change. Listen, you as a member of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, and especially those of you that agreed you'd be a soul winner, you are a contributor to the keeping of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. Your soul winning is either helping us to stay right with God, or your lack thereof is causing us to get away from the main purpose of the local New Testament church. You're a part of the keeping force of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. Soul winning was not kept at the church of Ephesus. Secondly, church membership was not kept in the church of Smyrna. I said church membership was not kept. What's it mean? It's not guarded, was not protected, was not handled right. Revelation chapter 2 verse number 9, it says, "I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan." Here, people had become a part of the church who did not spiritually qualify to be a part of the church. You see that happen everywhere. They'll let people join a church. They're not even saved. The Bible teaches salvation comes before baptism, and baptism comes before church membership. Folks, if we let lost people join the church, they begin to infiltrate the church and its ministries. Lost people are not spiritual, so how in the world could they do spiritual works? They can't. Which means you have people in spiritual positions living in the flesh. They're not even born again. Listen, lost people, we want them to attend the church. We want that. We want them here. But they're not here to serve in the church. They're here to be served by the church in an effort to win their souls to Christ. In this church, there were people joining up that didn't even qualify to be on the church roll. See, you have to be a member of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church to serve in its ministries. You must be willing to join up. You got to be willing to be associated with this local New Testament church. You've got to admit you're one of us. Now, these are the ones from whom we will choose to run our ministries and to direct our ministry. You see, if we want to keep our church spiritual, you must have spiritual people running the ministries. So you can't let lost people do that. See, when people come and walk the aisle here at our church and they say, I'd like to join the church, here's what we always ask them. Are you saved? Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? If they say, oh, yes, I've done that. Then we say, did you follow the Lord in believers' baptism by immersion? If they say, yes, we did. Then we'll give them a shot at joining the church. If somebody walks the aisle and they say, I want to join the church. And we say, are you saved? And they say, no. We say, can't do that. But we can show you how to get saved and baptized so you can. If they would say, I want to join the church, but I'm not going to get saved, we'd have to very politely say, you need to go back and sit in the pew, get you a dose of the gospel, get saved, then you can join the church. But until then, you can't join the church. You say, what's the big deal? Oh my goodness, you don't know the big deal? All over the United States of America, there are people that are members of churches, and they're not even saved. They're not even saved. We must guard the issue of church membership to guard the future of our church. You know what happens? Churches start out and they do it right. Oh, but they get desperate for members. And they get desperate to have the church look big and look full. And they get desperate for wanting people to do things. So they just start letting just anybody come along and join the church, whether they're saved, whether they're baptized. And then it corrupts the church. Because you have lost people doing the things that saved people are supposed to do. Think about it. There are churches all over the world that have members who are not even saved. No wonder the churches in America are a mess. You see, in this church of Smyrna, there were people professing they were a part of the church, but they weren't saved. Thirdly, the church of Pergamos. The church of Pergamos was kept. The church of Pergamos was not kept from worldliness. They didn't keep worldliness out of the church. Revelation chapter 2 verse 14 says this, but I have few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. Here's what that's really telling you. They were virtually fornicating with the world. They were hobnobbing and having relationships with worldliness. They had a carnal, fleshly relationship with the world. You know, say, but, you know, just behave any way you want, act any way you want, go anywhere you want. That kind of an attitude. Now, folks, let me tell you something. Pergamos was not kept from the world. They were fornicating with the world. They were having relationships with worldliness. The Bible says, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. Now, we must keep our church membership away from the world's ways, away from the world's music. That's why I stand up here and throw a fit and say, stay away from the rock music. Stay away from the country music. Stay away from that filthy music of the world. Why? We're trying to keep our church. God said, because the church of Philadelphia kept some things, he said, as a result of that, I will keep you. I will sustain you. I will make your red hot revival long term. But we've got to be kept. We got to be kept from the fornication of worldliness. Hey, that's why we throw a fit about our entertainments. That's why we throw a fit about the way we dress. That's why we've got to stay away from the world's religion and the world's philosophies and the world's activities. That's why we must remind men to walk and talk and act like men. That's why we must remind women to walk, talk, and act like women. We're to be different. Amen. What are we doing? We're keeping the church. We're honoring the church. We're making sure that God looks down and says, you have kept what I wanted you to keep. Now I'll keep your church from falling apart and thereby salvaging all those ministries. People should notice we're different. We must guard the church from slipping away from the separation issues. Proverbs 22:28 says, "Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers had set." This is telling us, stick with the old time ways. Somewhere, some church must pay the price to continue to preach against worldliness. It's got to be done. Even if it costs them. And let me tell you something. When a nation's economy gets tough, preachers start making decisions about will they change that for which they stand. You say, why? Keep members. You say, why would they want to change? Because they need money. They got to pay the bills. So they begin to wonder, do I want to say something about this, that, and the other? I'm liable to make somebody mad. They're going to take their membership up the road. I'm going to tell you something. Preachers should not decide what they preach on the basis of money. If it's right, it's right. If it's wrong, it's wrong. I don't care. Well, I don't care how much money we do or we do not have. So we'd run this baby in the ground, folks, over the doctrines and the truth and the purity of the Bible. You say, we're going to need money to keep this thing afloat. I'll tell you something. I'd rather be poor and right with God than rich and not be right with God. But we've got to keep from fornicating as Christians with worldliness. Then, in the church of Thyatira, they did not keep away from, they did not practice ecclesiastical separation. So ecclesiastical separation was not kept in the church of Thyatira. Listen to this, Revelation chapter 2 verse 20, it says, "Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou suffered that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols." I'll boil this down for you. Most students of the Bible would very quickly tell you this she and this Jezebel here is in reference to the Catholic Church. Here you had a group of people that would not separate from bad religion, bad religious organizations. Now, folks, let me tell you something. Not everything that claims Jesus is all about Jesus. Not everybody that uses the word Jesus even understands who he really is. There was not ecclesiastical separation. That word ecclesiastical comes from the word ekklesia, which means church or churching. There was not church separation. A local, independent, fundamental Baptist church is not to connect up with everything that's so-called religion. Religious. We're not going to do that. Not all organizations that call themselves ministries are the kind of ministries we ought to associate with. What happened to the church at Thyatira, they had gotten connected up with the wrong kind of religious organizations. As a result of it, they got off track. As a result of it, they were one of the six churches that didn't do right. And if you and I want to be like the church of Philadelphia, we better watch out for that which took Thyatira down. And that was a lack of ecclesiastical separation. Not everything that calls itself a church is truly a New Testament church. So-called churches that deny the inspiration and preservation of the Bible, that's not a church. We've got to stand for the autonomy of the local New Testament church. You say, what is that? That's the self-governing of this independent body. We are not a part of a denomination. We don't have some denominational headquarters. We do have a headquarters. It's due north. It is the God of the universe and the book that he gave us to follow. We've got to associate with people that teach salvation by grace through faith. And if they teach anything else, it is heresy. It is the most damnable heresy that could be taught. Salvation is free and forever. And we will not associate with anybody that dilutes the doctrine of salvation. It is called ecclesiastical separation. We must believe the virgin birth. We must believe and associate with those that believe in the deity of Jesus Christ. He was the Son of God. He was God come in the flesh. We must guard ourselves from wrong types of religious organizations. You see, we only fellowship with churches, ministries, schools of like faith. What are we doing? We are keeping our ministry. We're not making the mistake that the church at Thyatira made. Listen, folks, wrong associations produce wrong doctrine. There are people in this room, I don't know who you are, you watch religion on television all the time, you have false doctrine in your belief, you believe it, you're sold on it, you think it's right, and you have been fellowshipping with the wrong people through the boob tube. Wrong association produces wrong standards. Wrong association produces wrong doctrine. Wrong association produces wrong methods. And let me warn you this. Wrong association produces an unequal yoke for your children. Your children will go out and marry people of wrong doctrine, wrong method, wrong standards, wrong belief. They'll go out and marry people like that if you yoke up with every Tom, Dick, and Harry in the so-called religious world. We've got to keep this thing. We're trying to... The ecclesiastical separation was not kept at the church of Thyatira. Let me go on. Number five. The spirit and the motive in the church of Sardis was not kept. I said the spirit and motive in the church of Sardis was not kept. I'll read it to you. Revelation chapter 3, verse number 1, it says, "And unto the angel of the church of Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God, the seven stars, I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest, and art dead." Thou hast a name, that thou livest, and art dead. Virtually it says, you're living off your past name. Your past name is carrying you. You're a has-been. You look good to the outside world, but on the inside, you're all rotten. Hear what it said? Thou hast a name that thou livest, and you're dead. People heard about you, but not like it used to be. You're living off of the works of the past, because God's hand will be taken off of you if you don't do what they did in the past in the now. They were active, but dead. They were busy, but they were busy for themselves, not for God. They had lost their spiritual attitude about the work. They were busy, but didn't do what they did for God, but for the sake of the program. They were busy, but didn't do what they did for God. They were doing it for the sake of the organization, for the name. Their motive of pleasing God had been forgotten, and they were stuck in a service routine for the sake of routine. They lost their enthusiasm. They had lost their spiritual heart. They had programs for the sake of programs, but not for the sake of glorifying God. Ritual had become their cause. They walked in to do their church job, but they no longer walked with God while they did it. They now did their spiritual duties in the power of the flesh. Folks, we must walk guard about our motive. We must walk guard about, hey, we've got a lot of programs around here, but not for the sake of having a lot of programs. We have programs to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. And don't you get so caught up in the program that you forget the person that the program's all about. Say, boy, are we organized. Boy, do we have a lot of nice things. Boy, is this a classy place. You better keep your eyes on Jesus. I thank God for the organization. I thank God for all the nice things that we have. But if we're not careful, all those things will become primary, and we'll forget who we're doing it for and the purpose for which we're doing it. We're doing it for Him, all to the glory of God. See, we must walk guard around our church spirit and attitude. We must walk guard around our church's motives, the real reason why we do what we do. We must not love the programs more than we love the one for whom the programs were created. And this church says, thou hast a name that thou livest, but you're dead. Reality is, you have a structure. You have a front, but on the inside, you're not spiritual. You're not spiritual. You're just a religious organization. But folks, we're not a religious organization. We're a local New Testament church with Jesus Christ at the top of the totem pole. Then, number six, it was not kept hot in the church of Laodicea. Now, right now, it's hot in here. Is it hot in here to anybody else? So we've kept it hot. I'm burning up here. It's hot in the auditorium. It was not kept hot in the church of Laodicea. Revelation 3:15 says, "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot." I would thou wert cold or hot. They were not hot. They were not cold. They were lukewarm. God says, that makes me want to puke. God said, that makes me want to puke. I want to spew you out of my mouth like vomit. Vomit's not hot or cold. It's lukewarm. That what you say, what causes that? It's when a church wants to apologize for being an old-fashioned independent fundamental Baptist church. It's when the pastor wants to apologize and he wants to rub shoulders with the people in the pastoral or the ministerial assassination or association. He wants to be with the big wigs. He wants everybody in town to, you know, call on him to pray at all the big to-dos in town. But I'll tell you something. When you're an independent fundamental Baptist and there's no way they can control what you say, they don't usually invite you to come speak. Say, it'd be all right, but he's a live wire. And no telling what he'll say. They were afraid to keep it hot. They didn't keep it hot. That's where there's too much teaching and not enough preaching. I like to teach, and we're going to teach around here. And anybody that ever criticize there's not enough teaching, you need to show up at the 75 Sunday school classes that meet 52 weeks out of the year and figure out if there's any teaching going on around here. But I'll tell you this, teaching will never take the place of red-hot preaching at the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. Every once in a while, you have to put up with somebody standing up, snorting, spitting, throwing, yelling, screaming, and causing a fuss. It's just going to happen. You say, why? For the very thing that it's doing right now. There's somebody right now going, oh, we're not going to have drama instead of chucking the corn around here. People at this church of Laodicea, they wanted finesse instead of fit throwing. I throw fits for Jesus. We're not going to have classical music in our church instead of old-time hymns. We're not going to have contemporary instead of revival songs. We're not going to have a start survey taken. We're going to go soul winning. We're not going to have moments of silence instead of altar calls. We're not going to have church bazaars instead of revivals. We're not going to have weddings for the lost instead of marriages for the holy. Well, I have no interest in being politically correct. I want to be biblically correct. We're going to have hot Bible teachers in our Christian school and in our Bible college, not boring lecturers. We're going to have revival meetings instead of social opportunities and bus routes instead of tea parties. We're going to say amen while some of you say, oh, me. I'm going to preach modest skirts and dresses instead of short shorts, halter tops, and sleazy slits. We're going to have prayer meetings instead of spend our time on the internet chat rooms with people you shouldn't be talking to anyway. Some of you had a bad spirit because you can't push one button called off on your computer. We're going to have missions conferences, Brother Heidner, right? Instead of having ecumenical sunrise services with the father who dresses like a mother. The church of Philadelphia stayed true because she kept what the other churches did not keep. Kept. 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 God said, if you'll keep some things, I will keep you. In other words, if you and I will band together to keep this church what it has been, we walk guard around this church. God said, I'll walk guard around you. You know, you get more confident when you've got good backing.
Yes, sir. Man, come on, preacher.
You say you sometimes throw that out there with boldness. You're right. I got a big brother that can slap the holy snot right out of you.
Yes, sir.
I will be kept if I keep what he asked me to keep. It says in Revelation 3:8, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, hast not denied my name. He says that again in another verse, and then he promises a keeping for those who have kept the right things. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed, every eye.